Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving. We are coming to you with a turkey edition of Leadership Lean In Podcast. We hope that you are having a fantastic Thanksgiving so far. We thought we'd throw in a bonus edition. We're just clarifying here. This is not episode number 56. No. This is the turkey edition of Leadership Lean In, the podcast. Only releasing audio, by the way. We're not letting the YouTubers, the YouTube leaners, they can't see us today. It's a day not to be seen. It's a day to eat turkey. Juan, what are you having today? What's on the menu?
I'm going to have some turkey and a little bit of Sprite on the side.
Just turkey and Sprite.
Yeah, I'm a single man.
You are a single man.
I'm a single simple man.
You're a single. Turkey and Sprite. Nate Dogg, what are you having?
What I'm most excited for, mashed potatoes.
Oh, I love good mashed potatoes.
Yes.
If they're good.
Yes, they have to be elevated a little bit.
Yeah, a little elevated.
The cheese. The
something's got to get in there.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And pie, you're a pie guy. Your wife makes the greatest pies in the world.
The best pies. She's mixing it up.
What's she doing?
Usually she does an apple pie.
Yep.
She's going lemon meringue
okay.
and key lime.
I was going to say, her key lime pie is to die for.
Unbelievable.
There's no one in the world that makes a better key lime pie, in my personal opinion. But from Juan, Nate Dogg, and myself, our family, our friends, we love you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for sharing about it. I see all the posts. It just means the world. People are sharing it and getting the word out about leadership. We love the message of leadership. We love the subject of leadership. And we're leaning in just to get a little bit better. I thought it would be appropriate on this Thanksgiving Day to talk about our 10 thankful affirmations. So I'm going to walk through all 10 of them. And here's the first one. Number one, I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful. We're alive. This Thanksgiving is better than last Thanksgiving. Last Thanksgiving, we were kind of shut down here in Los Angeles. It was not the... We were still thankful in our spirits. But even then, we couldn't even go into restaurants with masks on. It was. So we're much more thankful this year. I am thankful for all that God has planned for me. I think one of the keys to being a great leader is to have foresight. You know, great leaders can see before anybody else sees. Great leaders speak before anybody else speaks. Something about having that foresight. And I think part of having a mindset of gratitude is going, I know there's a great plan ahead. Mm. I know that, you know, we talk about this term, the best is yet to come, but you got to really live with that sense that, man, something's just about to happen. There's something just around the corner. There's just that attitude of thankfulness for the future. The next one, I am thankful for the way God created me. I write about this in Help I Work With People. You know, one of the whole, that we dedicated a chapter to this. Awkward is a gift.
Right.
Your awkward is your genius,
right.
You know, your contrast.
Good.
Everybody's trying to fit in, but I think it's good that you stand out a little bit. Like, you know, I am the way that I am. I talk the way that I talk. I dress the way that I dress. I don't want to be like everybody else. I'm really thankful for the way God made me. Mm. And, you know, I think you guys both feel the same. You guys are both very confident individuals, Juan. And by the way, it was great to see you guys on the pre-post show. For Zoe Church last week.
Yes, a lot of editing.
Felt like I was looking at two of the same person. But anyways, I am thankful for the way God created me. I just think that's, you know, I was making fun of myself on Sunday, the calves and the calf knots. But it's just part of just embracing, this is my unique bend.
Right.
This is my the contrast, the color I bring to the table. And that's a beautiful thing. The next one, I am thankful for my friends and family. That is today, just the overwhelming sense. I'm so grateful for... You know, you're only as rich as your relationships. And so if you have great relationships, you're living a great life, you know, and today's that day to go, wow, I have friends that love me. I have friends that are for me. I have friends that want to see me succeed. I have friends that are, you know, wishing I was with them today. My family members, I'm really grateful for them today. The next one, I am thankful for all the things God is doing that I can't see and I don't know about. Again, it's that future mindset. It's that belief that God's doing things in the background, in the shadows. It's cheesy, cliche. I'm playing checkers. He's playing chess.
Right.
He's moves ahead of me.
Right.
And I think that. I believe that. I'm really, all you know, it's praising before you can see it, touch it, feel it, smell it. It's before you have that amazing relationship, amazing opportunity, amazing, you know, trip, whatever it is. I'm thanking God he's doing things that I don't even know about them
right.
yet. He's setting things up. You know, he's moving things around for my betterment. I don't even know about it, so thank God. I am thankful for my health. I don't think we've ever been more aware of how important health is. Health is such a big deal. Again, I'm going cheesy, but health is wealth. And, you know, when you're healthy, especially in this climate, in this era of COVID, so many sicknesses going around our city in particular. It feels like there's a lot of people getting sick. If you're healthy, you woke up today healthy, praise God. Thank God. Don't take that for granted. The next one, I am thankful that I am already loved and accepted. I think this is a powerful affirmation of gratitude because I'm not striving for affirmation. I'm not striving to be accepted.
Right.
I'm not pushing the boundaries so that I can feel loved. I'm already loved. And to know that I'm accepted, even though I've got blemishes, I've got mistakes, I've got issues like everybody, I'm a work in progress, just like, you know, all of us are.
Right.
But the fact that I don't have to earn that love or earn that acceptance. I can just receive that with all my inadequacies and feel that I'm really loved. Mm. That's a beautiful thing. I'm really thankful today. And I can sense that. The next one, I'm thankful for my city.
Hello.
I don't know where you're streaming in from. And streaming, it's like, Chad, we're not at
Netflix.
We're not at Hulu today, bro. It's a podcast. I'm on a jog right now. I don't know where you're listening from in the world, but I've never loved Los Angeles more than I do. I love the people. I love the city. I love the smells. I love the way it moves. I love our culture. I love our diversity. I love everything. I even love our traffic. People go, how do you tolerate the traffic in Los Angeles? I love the traffic. It means there's a lot of people here. And so I love the opportunity of my city. And so I think wherever you are, embrace your city. Embrace where you live. Love where you live. Be planted there. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And if you could do that, I mean, you were happy. Where were you in West Texas?
South Texas.
What's your city again?
McAllen. Yeah. It's really down
I've
there.
Only been to Brownsville.
It's an hour away from
That's Brownsville. As close as I got to the Wanster.
Yeah.
Nate Dogg, tell everybody where you're from. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town south of Seattle called Puyallup.
Okay, let's not call it so small. It's a roaring metropolis, brother.
Huge.
It's where I met you. I love Puyallup, but you know, I was just as happy in Puyallup as it was Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it's you know, to be honest, right. I was just as happy there as I am right here because you know, I think God gives you a burden, He gives you a heart, He gives you a love for your city.
Yep,
and you see it as it's an amazing place. I think let's have that attitude today. Two more. I am thankful for those who God has placed over my life. This is a big deal. For me, I think about my pastor, Pastor Judah and Chelsea Smith. I'm thankful for them today. I'm thankful for our board of elders that I submit my life to, Pastor Dave Patterson, Pastor Rich Wilkerson Jr., and Pastor Jude Fuque. I submit my life to them. I'm accountable to them. I'm under submission of them. Julia as well. You know, we're equally submitted. I just find so much comfort being under authority.
Right.
I would feel so vulnerable if I was the authority. I'm under God's authority. I'm under the authority of Scripture. I'm under people. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think when you can have that appreciation for your oversight, it's a real biblical thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, great leaders, what are they first? Great leaders are first great followers.
Right.
If you can follow really, really well, you can lead really, really well. I would rather a lot of times be a follower. In other words, I would rather be told what to do. Like I'm getting ready for this LA marathon.
Right.
And I'm texting with Hannah Minardi. He's putting my, she's
tell me what to do.
Yeah. Just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm 17 weeks out. Tell me what to do. She's like, well, do you want to do this or do that? I go, listen, tell me what to do. Cause I would like to follow directions. So I like Bible reading.
Right.
This is what the Bible says. It's what we're going to do. So I'm really thankful. Have that spirit. Have that attitude today. I don't tolerate authority in my life. So many people have a problem with authority.
Right.
You'll never have authority if you don't first submit to authority.
So
that's
good.
How authority happens. And the last one, I am thankful for the influence God has given me. My God. I do not take it for granted. I don't take it lightly that we get to sit here, record a podcast, and hopefully infuse some hope and some love and some faith and some leadership into, you know, people all over America, all over the world. I don't take that for granted.
Right.
The moment you are negligent with your influence, you lose it.
Jeez.
By the way, any of us can lose influence.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not talking about just followers or by the way, fame is elusive because you can be famous and not have influence.
Mm.
So just because you're known does not mean you have influence. You have to have respect. You have to have an audience to have influence.
Wow.
And so I think, you know, the more I am careful and you know, it's like influence is a currency.
Right.
And so the way you look after your money and you look at your accounts, that's how you should look at your influence. Don't throw it away. So that's why they say in leadership, your no is more powerful than your yes. It's like having a budget.
Yep.
I know I'm not going to spend my money everywhere. I'm not going to spend my influence everywhere. I'm going to
really
make
good
investments of where I know I'm going to have a return. So I'm thankful today. You should be wherever you're at in life. I don't care how many followers you have, where you're at, what you're leading. You're a coach. You're a business owner. You're a leader in the church. Whatever you do, you have great influence. Be grateful today. Wow. Someone with all the flaws and the issues that we have, still we've got a measure of influence. That's unbelievable, and we're really grateful. Okay, those are the 10. Thanksgiving Day, thankful affirmations. We're going to toss over to Nate Dogg. Nate's got a few. Again, this is just bonus stuff, man.
It's just bonus.
We're just flowing.
That's it.
By the way, I'm so much more into the audio podcast than the video.
I kind of like it more, too.
It feels so much more podcasty,
conversational.
Yes.
Cameras take away from that.
Cameras make you perform.
Yes.
Cameras make you turn it on. This feels
performing. Yeah.
This feels more fun. Maybe we're just gonna get rid of. Well, we only got. Right. Yeah. Anyways, okay. Juan's like, wait, what will I do? Well, Juan's like, okay, well, here I am with my turkey and Sprite, and I've got nothing to do. Okay, Nate Dogg, take it away. What do we got?
All right, I just have a few maybe follow-up questions, some thoughts as you were going through those affirmations, some things that I had thought of. And
yep.
And the first one is this, and I think it's really interesting. We have one day a year to be specifically thankful for.
Mm.
We should be thankful. I love these 10 affirmations. I think they should keep going.
Yeah.
People should just keep them on their phones even after this challenge.
Right.
But I'm curious, what are the things that you have that you have to constantly address in your life that drain you of your gratefulness? Like tomorrow, it's the opposite of Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It's like it's Black Friday. We actually want to go get more stuff.
Yep.
You know, the opposite of contentment. Like, what is that for you? What are those things that drain you of gratefulness, and how can we watch out for those?
I think one thing that really drains me of my gratitude is social media.
Mm.
Social media can zap away all of the, I can go, wow, they seem like they're doing better than me.
Wow.
They're having more fun than me. They're getting more opportunity than me. You know, just a natural thing. You bump your life up against.
Right.
It's a cliche saying, but you know, we compare our lowest moments, or let's call it another term, our real life mundane moments to people's highlight reels.
Right.
And so I think you got to go into, you know, social media, I think, with a healthy perspective.
Right.
And going like, I do the same thing as they do. I only share the best.
Right.
With filters. You know, think we took 50 edits, photos, we edited this thing, we favorited the best one, and I'm putting out an impression. And the reality is, I changed diapers today. I had to put my kid in timeout. I had to make my son go back to bed 4 times. Like, humans are humans.
Right.
We all have the human need. There are no superheroes. So I think something that can drain me and keep me away from my gratitude, I'm thankful for today, I'm thankful for the way that God made me, I'm thankful for the future, is if you approach social media and you're not in strength.
Wow.
And you don't have that, you can sometimes forget, oh, that everybody's just like me.
Right. That's such good perspective. Do you feel like in today's age, like, can you break a cycle? So is it realistic even to take a step away from social media? It just feels like so much of my life.
Yeah, I think you have to in spurts. We were just talking about John Mark Comer, you know, and looking up his account. You showed me just, you know, he's taking a 9-month break. I have never once taken a break from social media and regretted it.
Wow.
I've never thought, man, I miss what everybody's doing. I've only felt the opposite. I've only been like, thank God. Mm. I feel so good about my kids and my marriage and my life and my church. And I've never taken a break from social media and been like, you know what I really miss? I miss refreshing 50 times a day. Like, never. I've never felt that way.
Right.
You know, so it's like we got to be smart about it. So I'm trying to find weekly times that I get away. I'm trying to find more of a rhythm. And I'm trying to be more honest with myself of like, this is a real distraction from the mission of my life.
Wow.
And I'd rather live on mission than be distracted.
Wow. Do you get the notification on Sundays? Your screen time notification.
Oh gosh, there's nothing better than when that thing says your screen time is down. I don't care if it's 1%.
Yes.
And but what messes me up is if I travel, so because I'm watching Netflix or I'm watching a plane or I'm on the phone, emails or something like that, you know. So if it's a travel week, I just throw out the percent.
Yeah.
But a normal week, I'm trying to. Recently, I got my notification. I was down 2 weeks ago. I was down 55% down. And jeez. I was like, let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
Feels so good.
Oh, it's because, you know, that is saying to me that 55% represents productivity.
Right.
That means I was getting stuff done. Meetings. Because if I'm on my laptop, I'm not on social media.
Right.
I'm working, writing, meet, you know, people.
Right.
So, yeah.
I've only met social media managers who do social media on their computer. You're a different type of person if you're on Instagram on your computer.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. That means you get paid to do that.
Yes. Okay, next one. I love what you're saying, you know, embrace your awkward.
Yeah.
And I've grown up saying this. I've heard other people say this, you know, addressing their flaws. And they just go, oh, that's just who I am.
Oh.
You know, it's like, no, come on. That's not who you are.
Come on, man.
Yeah. How do you differentiate? This is how God made me.
Yep.
I should embrace it. Or, okay, this is my personality trait, but this is more family tradition or, you know, influence than it is anything else.
Well, one of my favorite things that Craig Rochelle says is your weaknesses are no laughing matter. So when you say, this is just who I am, are you saying that about a strength or about a weakness? Because if it is a strength, this is just who I am. I'm just good at basketball, or I'm just good at tennis. You know, this new Serena and Will Smith movie, or I'm just good at writing music. Then there's a strength. Great. God gave you a grace. But if it's a weakness, it's no laughing matter. So I think, you know, I think whenever I've heard people say that, it is in defense of a weakness or like something that's really unhealthy. And they don't know how to bring health to it, bring strength to it. So they just are kind of going like, hey, you got to accept me
as I am.
And I don't think that's fair. And I don't think that's funny. I don't think it's a defense mechanism. It's saying I'm too insecure and I'm too broken to face this issue that obviously you're aware of and I'm aware of is not right.
Yeah.
This is not well. And so I don't think it's a smart way to look at life. I don't think I don't think it's fair to your family, your friends, or your coworkers to go, this is just who I am. I think it's better to say, the better option is to say, I recognize this is something I need to work on.
Yeah.
And I'm committed to growth. If you said that, everybody go, you got grace with me.
Mm.
You got a pass here. You got compassion. You got mercy. You got empathy now. But you'll create walls of division if you go, this is just who I am.
Right.
And then your family's like, well, you're saying that you don't want to grow. You don't want to get better.
Right.
When we're all going, please get better on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's like the phrases, don't judge me, and in all due respect, you know, whatever is going to follow those statements.
Yeah. It's never like good what's coming next.
There is no respect here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's work on. I love. What was that quote one time from Craig Rochelle?
He says your weaknesses are no laughing matter. So I've been around weak leaders that go like, this is just my. I've got the gift of, you know, this. And everybody's going like, bro, you're acknowledging that it's not good and it's right. not healthy and you're calling it a gift and you're laughing, but we're not.
Jeez.
Because this is disruptive to our ego. This is crippling to our belief in you as a leader.
Wow.
It's not a laughing matter.
Wow. You know, you do this so well. I love what you're saying. You're grateful for the people that you're underneath, the yeah. authority you're under. Yeah. And being under you for so long, I love that you'll call me into an office and say, hey, this is something you need to work on.
Mm.
And maybe I even knew it already existed.
Yeah.
Just calling it out in the open.
Oh my gosh. You know, yeah, Julia has never brought something up to me that I'm like, wait, I need to work on that.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, we all have weaknesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite books on leadership is The Dark Side of Every Leader. Every leader has a dark side. Every leader has strengths and weaknesses. That's just the bottom line. Look at the Enneagram. Why is the Enneagram gone crazy? Because we go, wow, a two is this. And when right. they are great, when they're healthy in strength, they go to this. They also are this. In weakness, they go to this number. We all, when we're good, have a health strength and a weakness.
Right.
And so we have to be aware. There's a dark side to every leader. That's why I think it's very imperative for young leaders that, you know, when you look at your leader, it's like, you know that old saying, the king has no clothes. So most people, they lack self-awareness. A lot of leaders struggle with knowing what their weakness is.
Right. Yep.
So they don't have anybody around them that says, you realize this is going on. But I think when you're under a leader, you have to appreciate and you have to identify. I know my leader is really good at this.
Yep.
And this is their strength. And I recognize that they have weaknesses just like me.
Right.
So I know that I want grace and I want covering for my weakness. How dare I not cover them in their weakness?
Wow.
Because we're all humans.
Wow.
So just as long as I can identify, here's where you're really good. And just like me, there's room to grow. So if I give you margin, I can give myself margin.
Wow.
But if I don't give myself margin, I'll never give you margin. So we all, man, Juan, how much room do you need to grow? You sitting here on Thanksgiving having Sprite and turkey, dog.
Yeah.
It's not good. We got a lot of growth to do.
Yeah.
But we all do.
Yeah.
And I think you got to recognize that.
Yeah. I think, you know, reading leadership books and blogs, you know, growing up in leadership, I would always hear this thing, staff your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And it almost seemed like an excuse.
That's it.
Not to grow, not to get better.
Yeah.
Just grow out what you're already strong at. Just staff your weaknesses. And that just sounds so backwards.
Well, I agree with it to a certain extent, of course.
Sure.
Like I'm not super, super administrative.
Right.
I can think of things to a certain extent, but so yeah, I'm going to staff my weakness, but that does not mean that I just write off checks for my weakness and to go deal with it.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I'm going to resource this weakness, but I'm also going to do my best to improve and be the healthiest version of myself.
What I'm hearing you say is if, yes, we're going to staff our weaknesses, but I'm still responsible for my weakness.
Right. That's right. Take your, who doesn't want to follow a leader that will take responsibility for their actions? Like I was thinking about this, you know, there's a football coach recently that, you know, made some mistakes and did something that is just a big no-no. And the moment he stands up in front of that podium and says, you know, I just got to own my mistake here. He has to go in front of the team and own that. He needs to go in front of the owners and own that, front office, his coaching staff. You know, the whole saying, your authority is in your authenticity. If people can sense you're really owning your weakness and really owning your failure, people go, oh, man. You're good. I have weaknesses.
Yeah.
I make mistakes. But what are relationships built off? Trust, respect, and communication. So I trust you. I respect you because you communicate not just about strengths, but you also acknowledge what we can all see.
Right. Yeah. It actually makes me more confident in that leader.
I
want to follow that.
You person. Get empathy.
Yeah.
You get compassion. You get mercy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. And I don't know how many more of these you want to do, but
let's do two more.
Okay, perfect. I wrote this down and, you know, thankful for what, oh, my phone just died. That's okay. Thankful for what God has planned for us in the future.
Yeah.
That affirmation. I was having some conversations with some people who just, to be honest, were struggling with their faith.
Mm.
And they're finding it hard to feel as if God was there or was planning something for their future.
Mm.
So the question that we had is faith a choice? Do you choose to believe or is it something more than that?
Mm. Is faith a choice or do you choose to believe? Well, this is a leadership podcast, first of all. We just brought in a lot of theology.
We can go like this. Maybe you're underneath leadership.
Yeah.
Maybe you're new to a place.
Mm.
Yeah, you just moved from city to a new church or something, a new organization. Mm. You haven't seen the qualities that you want to see yet. Can you still choose to treat them with the same respect as someone else that you have seen proven and shown their worth?
Mm. Well, I think trust is built over time, you know, just like culture. But I think, you know, life is lived within such a tension. It's like I have to believe the best about others constantly. You have to believe the best. And I trust you and believe the best until I don't.
Mm.
But I think, you know, one of the great things about being a leader is you have to exercise discernment. And so I have to make, you know, I don't want to make, what was that movie that came out years ago here in LA that was such a good Crash? Like Crash is a whole movie about, you know, stereotypes and making, you know, Malcolm Gladwell calls it thin slicing. And you're making these judgments, right? I think leadership, you're constantly making decisions off discernment, decisions off of judgment. And that's really good. Because what do you have to do as a leader? You have to always see the difference between someone that can soar and someone that will never fly.
Wow.
Who's going to really go to the next level? So when I'm walking around, I'm always trying to go like, who should I be talking to?
Right.
Who are the leaders? Who are the people that are worth investing into?
Mm.
You know, so you got to make a lot of decisions. So I think, you know, if you're someone that's new in a new context, you've come to a new place, I think that you have to do your best to believe the best, hope the best, but also exercise discernment at the same time that, you know, if you see something, hear something, feel something, sense something, then that brings caution.
Wow.
You know, it's like
right.
The Bible would say it this way, lay hands on no men suddenly. Why does it say that? Because it's saying don't advance somebody too early.
Wow.
Don't trust someone too quickly. So I believe the best, but I need time to trust.
Right.
You know, it's like, In our field of work, we do not work with a spiritual novice, someone that is new.
Yep.
Why? Why is that such a big biblical principle in our world? Because in our world, and I think this translates to all fields, I have to allow people to earn respect, and usually that's based off experience. So it's like in dating, right? It's like, I believe you should date for 6 months. Why? Because in 6 months, after 6 months, I'm going to know who you are.
Yeah. Right.
I've seen you hangry. I've seen you flustered. I've seen you stressed. I've seen you. We've had conflict and it told me whether you can bring resolution or not. You know, it's you really know, just good. It just takes time.
Yeah. Okay. Last question for you.
Yeah.
I think this has been so good.
Okay. It's because it's audio.
It's because there it is. We got Juan in the background.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Last question is for people who, you know, we can use Thanksgiving for this, right? We had pre-COVID, pre-pandemic Thanksgiving, people coming together, life looked way different.
Yep.
And then now, just the reality, it's more difficult to travel.
Yep.
And how do you fight to stay grateful knowing that what used to be,
oh man, this
looked
is it.
Better, you know, felt
this is it.
Better.
This is it.
How do you, instead this of going backwards, it. How do you fight that?
This is it. You know, I think that this right here, you know, it reminds me of a proverb. A proverb says, "A hope deferred makes the heart sick." I think we're dealing with that in our culture. That the hope of what people were building, businesses, lives, communities, teams, in our context, church, was so great.
Jeez.
And it's been decimated. So how do you deal with that? A sick heart or disappointment? Really, that's what it is disappointment, yeah. Leading through disappointment. All of us have disappointment. All of us have been handed cards that are like, I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy. Next week, George is turning 10.
Jeez.
And so I've been for 10 years taking care of somebody that represents the disappointment of a diagnosis or a situation.
Right.
So all of us have to face disappointment. I think it's the whole saying in life. Again, this is another cheesy one, but life is not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you. It's about taking the cards that I've been dealt and playing them to the best of my ability. So I think this is what makes great leaders. Failure. Being in a situation like a Job where it's like, are you kidding me? I lost so much. Job's story gives me great hope, because if I can remain, we can use the word positive here, or hope-filled, and I can hang on, I know that, like, I don't ever worry about Zoe or, you know, for me, the life I was living before COVID.
Right.
Because I just know that God can bring double.
Right.
He can bring twofold. And it's always about making, that's why I love these affirmations, these Thanksgiving affirmations, because it's about a mindset. It's about finding a way to go, you know, it's not what it was. I don't think it ever will be.
Yep.
And I'm glad, because I've got to find a way to carve out success, carve out fruitfulness in this context. And so how do I get excited about this new opportunity in this new season, in this new context? You know, if I always think back and bump up what used to be to what is, I'll cheat my today. I will totally bypass today, because I'll always be bumping it up against this.
Wow.
It's like there's a proverb here, Proverbs 4. Do not look, it says this, do not look to the right or to the left. Don't look behind you or in front of you. Be in the moment. Be present. And that allows me to go like, man, who cares?
Yeah.
What I'm excited about today and the moment and these people. And so that is a big question. I think a lot of leaders out there are dealing with crushed spirits.
Yeah.
It's just bummer. But you know what? Okay, it happened. What are we going to do?
Right. We've got a lot of time ahead of us.
Life is really long. We've been talking about this. Life is long.
Yep.
You never know where it'll take you.
Jeez.
And so, look, there's some people who are killing it right now.
Right.
So what are they doing?
Right. This is the best they've ever had.
What are you doing? What are they doing that you're not?
Yeah.
I had coffee with a guy this morning. He's going to come on Leadership Leaning soon. And he goes, as we're leaving, he's like, did you listen to my album? He's an NBA trainer. I go, you have an album? He goes, I put out a motivational mixtape. It went out. It's number one in motivation. So he sent me the thing I put in the card. And it's like, this rapper guy's got beats, but it's his voice. And he's saying things that are just totally my language. Like, he's like, are you ready to grind today? He's like, are you ready to get? He's like, if you don't have the resource, go get the book. If you don't feel like you're in shape, let's exercise today. If you don't feel like, I'm just like, all those trigger words of like, let's go.
Right.
Get it.
I have no excuse.
No, it's work ethic.
Right.
Yeah, we have no excuse. So, I love that question. And I face that. I face that, of course. You know, man, we was going so good. It was so fun. We were, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, don't fall into that trap. What a trap.
Right.
That's such an Egyptian, Israelite mindset.
Right.
Oh, if we could go back, at least, you know, we had melons and man, I want to go back and the wilderness is hard. It's like, no, bro, did you ever have fresh Nikes? Did you ever have manna fall from heaven?
Right.
Back there, did you have pillars and clouds? No, you didn't. So you're missing the miracle of the moment comparing to the comfort of what used to be.
Yep.
It's like, no, have your eyes on the promised land.
Jeez. Yeah, so good. I saw a tweet the other day. Okay, I don't remember who it was by, but it was a retweet, and it said, I saw someone today, two pastors on Twitter today. One said, praise God, we just hit 500 people for the first time in person.
Yeah.
And the other one, it was like, I can't believe we only had 500 people.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like the same number.
Yeah.
This is perspective.
It's all, man. And I think a lot of it goes back to what Colin Henderson says, FOPO, fear of other people's opinion. That's a driving factor.
Jeez.
So it's not even a lot of people that want what they had so that they could be back to that strength. It's There you go.
Back to that status, not that strength. Yeah.
It's like, no, your identity is stronger than that. It's not our identity is not wrapped up in an outcome.
Wow.
My identity is not based in performance.
Wow.
My identity is based in character and values. That's it.
That's it.
Thank you for joining us on this special Thanksgiving. This is, we're going to do more audio stuff. We're gonna start. Juan's in. What else do you got? Juan. What else do you got going, bro? You got a Sprite and
Sprite and turkey.
And a
Popeye's turkey too.
It's rough. Yeah. We love you. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll be back with episode 56 next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.